Dating Divorced Men audio series is the property of JSA Communications and Understand Men Now and Jonathan Asley. Participation in the recordings waives all rights for its use. Recordings may be used for future resale, and JSA Communications, Understand Men Now, and Jonathan Asley retain full rights for its resale and use in its, and for its content. Well, hello and welcome. Thank you all. I'm Jonathan Asley, your guy spy to the male mind, your heart protector, and your dating relationship coach for women. I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight on Dating Divorced Men, Your Night or Your Nightmare. That topic actually, that title actually generated some interesting conversation. So I am so grateful that you joined my call tonight. I'm going to do my best to answer all of your questions on this section of the call or the Q&A section, as well as for the call next week. But tonight we're going to go through a couple different aspects of dating divorced men. And just to let you know, you're in the right place if you're single or looking, or you're even in a relationship with a man who's divorced, or potentially you could be dating someone that's divorced in the near future. And the reality is, as I mentioned on the sales piece, that with one of two marriages ending, and it's kind of sad that they actually end, chances are you can't throw a rock in a crowded room of single people and not hit somebody who's been divorced. So you're definitely in the right place if you're single or looking or in a relationship with a divorced man, or even somebody who just broke up with somebody. Because the reality is whether it's divorce, which is more traumatic, and we're going to definitely emphasize that tonight, but just even the emotional aspects of a breakup. And again, as your guy spy, as coming from the male perspective, my job is to help you kind of give that what's going on inside a guy's head. So what we're going to learn tonight is, when is a man really date ready? One aspect is, do you need to be the center of his world? We're going to talk about the financial concerns that are related to divorce and breakup. We're going to spend a little bit of time about blending lives. I'm going to definitely talk about, is he a player? Is he sowing seeds after a divorce? I'm going to also spend some time talking about what I call the crash and burn, or the hero's journey. And also, I'm going to definitely spend time on partnership and commitment. So that's the many of the details that we're going to be learning over the next two call series. And why I'm uniquely qualified for this, in fact, I shared before the call started, is personally, after turning 40 and going through a divorce in 2005, I found my life changed in a way I couldn't imagine. Growing up with parents who now have just celebrated 60 years of marriage, but growing up in a pretty stable, and I put my fingers up in quotes, nuclear home. You can't see me doing that, but I grew up in that nuclear home, 2.5 children. My poor brother is half a child. But my mother stayed at home, my father worked, and I had a fairly solid middle-class upbringing. And my blueprint for my life going forward, when I was after I was 18 and graduated college in my 20s, was kind of like this. I was expected to go to college. Afterwards, I was expected to get a job. So I went out in the corporate world and started looking for work. I then met somebody, got married, bought a house, and started a family. And that was my blueprint. Not knowing what it took to create a successful relationship, not knowing what it was going to be like. And then we ended up having children. So not knowing what it was going to be like raising children, and not really having any sense of who I was, because I got married in my mid-20s. Because of that, I was so naive in what to expect in the world, and also what to expect in a relationship and what true commitment meant. And it was no wonder that my relationship ended. And, you know, relationships end for a variety of reasons, and I don't want to get into the specifics of the why. Because the reality is for whatever reason a relationship ends, whether in my case it was a 12-year marriage, but whether it's a couple-year marriage, whether it's a long-term marriage, the reality is that the emotional effects us both men and women. Now, as you know, I'm here to talk about the male perspective, and I'll share with you from an absolute personal sharing from my heart, was it was the most traumatic time in my life in ways I can't even begin to describe. Because not only was I going through a divorce, I was also going through many changes financially as well, and for men, or professionally, excuse me. And for men, our professional identity is what makes our identity in many cases. So going through that at the same time of a divorce was traumatic for me. And for many men, the shift and change that happens during divorce, I don't even think we could truly prepare. In fact, I'll share with you that prior to my going through a divorce, one of my dear friends was going through went through a divorce 2 years earlier, and I remember him reaching out to me because he was so desperately needing a friend. But I was even naive to his cry for help until I went through a divorce. And when I'm talking about cry for help, I'm talking about the emotional shift that began to occur, because all of a sudden my blueprint changed, and all of a sudden, whatever I considered my blueprint before collided with my reality. All of a sudden, I'm wrestling with emotions I've never experienced before. I've wrestled with depression. I wrestled with being avoidance. I wrestled with anxiety. I wrestled with all these different emotions. And like many men, and I've now subsequently heard, because since that time, I've come across so many men have gone through divorce, and the experience is quite traumatic if you're not prepared. And let me just state, it's equally traumatic for women. In fact, in many cases, more so, especially if there's children involved. And I don't want to discount that, but going through it myself. And then I started the dating process. And I want to add that into the equation here, because why that's so important is that for those of you who don't know me, I literally began my career by online dating, and basically was a serial dater for quite some time, and communicating with different women, and not just online, but emails and text messages and going out on dates, and ultimately developing friendships with the number of people I made contacts with. Those friendships we started to share each other's dating stories, and all of a sudden I was being sought out for advice. And I would get phone calls constantly, or emails or text messages. Jonathan, I've got a date with someone. Could you go on his match profile and tell me what you think? And it was through those experiences that I've now landed to what I'm doing today. So why I feel that's so important, especially this particular topic, but just being the Understand Men Now coach, is that I'm truly coming from the male perspective. And in this particular case, I'm coming from that perspective of a divorced man and understanding the emotional, basically, challenges, frustrations, and changes that a man goes through in life. So that's what we're going to, that's where my background comes from. So we have two calls. Audio one is going to be talking about his emotional state. And audio two is going to be talking about the practical advice. When is he really ready for partnership and commitment? So that's going to be in audio two. Audio one is going to be his emotional state. So let's talk about divorce. Okay, and please understand that in many cases, I'm just touching the surface. We can certainly go deeper. That's part of what the Q&A is going to be all about. So again, hit *6 on your phone if you want to jump in on the Q&A. But let's talk about the stages of divorce for a moment. And let's go from the moment that there's an agreed that there's going to be a separation in the relationship. And I think statistically, women are the ones who file divorce most of the time. And in that, I want to point something out that's quite interesting, because when a divorce papers are filed, it's done what's called through family court. Now, there's civil court, there's criminal court, there's family court. But what's interesting about family court, it actually follows criminal law. As opposed to civil law. So in family court, we have a defendant and we have a plaintiff, and similar to criminal law, whereas in civil law, it's respondent. So I just point this out because even some of the terminology that's used, we use the terminology visitation, just like when you visit someone in prison, possibly. Custody, all these different terminologies come from criminal law. So we start with family court, to file divorce papers. And again, oftentimes it's the woman who files and the man is the defendant in that particular case. So now once divorce has been filed, all of a sudden there's going to be starts to make some shifts. For your first 6 months, at least here in California, there's a period of separation before a divorce can actually be finalized. So it takes a minimum of 6 months to actually have a divorce final. And in that period, you're in separation. And in that, there's going to be changes in life. I know, for example, I went from living in a big home to moving into a resident inn where I had a refrigerator the size of a shoebox, a TV to watch, movies, and my laptop to do my online dating. It was very confining. That emotional shift was a huge traumatic event for me. Now, equally enough, my family also had to make a shift because we sold the family home, and she went into a little bit smaller home. But there's going to be, right off the bat, there's definite shifts. And for men, oftentimes, that emotional shift is a huge one, just even the living arrangements. In fact, I think that's hugely important to recognize, especially when you go from living in a home to maybe a small apartment. I think that affects a man traumatically in his emotional state. And some men carry off and start, especially like what I did, they started online dating to fill that void, because there's definitely going to be a shift in his emotional state, and there's going to be a void that needs to be filled for some, whereas others immerse themselves in work, others find hobbies and such. I know for me, I immersed myself in the dating world because I wanted companionship, I wanted attention, I wanted affection, I wanted regular sex. So I started online dating to fill that void. But in that, I was going through that family court process and having to deal with lawyers and attorneys, and that is very traumatic as well. For those of you who have been through a divorce and know what I'm talking about, let me just share with you. I know we're both speaking the same language. It is traumatic, no matter what the reasons are. And I so encourage, if we can, as a society, just avoid the nastiness and the fighting that can go on, especially when children evolved. It's so important to come at it from a place, if at all possible, a place of calm. And I know that's difficult to do, and it's easier said than done. I so wish now I could have been able to do that for myself, but in that, ideally, it wouldn't be great if we could come from a place of calm. But in divorce, there's also going to be other concerns to be thinking about, and there's going to be, if there's children involved, there's going to be custody and visitation. And I can share with you from a personal perspective, I think one of the challenging things I had to go through was going from seeing my children every day to the traditional every other weekend and once during the week for dinner. That was hugely traumatic for me because I was so accustomed to seeing my children on a regular basis. And nowadays, we're seeing many relationships or many separations going into a 50-50 arrangement, but is still, imagine the effect on the children, just even with that 1 week here, 1 week there. But for the moment, I'm going to talk about the man and what he experiences. And if he's a truly caring, loving father, that's going to be traumatic for them to have to go to this so-called, every other weekend, once a week dinner type of arrangement. And I know personally that took some time for me to really come to terms with that and really be prepared for that shift. And that's part of what I'm talking about tonight, the understanding that there is a period of time both men and women need to adjust to when we're going through divorce. And I think to the extent, depending on how long the marriage was and depending on the financial concerns, and depending on if there's children involved. Those are the three most important things to kind of evaluate, beside the fact of what was the true cause for the divorce. So visitation is something that needs to be in consideration here. And what is that dynamic? Again, when we talk in audio, in the second audio, we're going to talk more about the practicality and partnership of blending lives, but I'm going to just touch upon that now. about the custody and visitation. I mentioned before about dating, but I really kind of jumped ahead of what's so important that we have to consider are the financial concerns in any divorce. And especially if you're dating a divorced man, I think depending on what your desire and expectation level is, if we're talking about traditional scenarios where men pay alimony and child support, I think it has to be on your radar to recognize that depending on the man's financial success, if you will, it's going to dramatically affect his ability to be in future relationship. I know for many of my contemporaries who have gone through this, literally when the significant bulk went to their ex-spouse or their children, very little was left for themselves to just even have basic necessities, such as a place to live and being able to cover some of the basic expenses. Now, those dynamics are changed dramatically with two parent families working, and the financial concerns may not be the same as they were 20 or 30 years ago, but yet it's still going to affect their ability to date, and quite frankly, their ability to even develop a long-term relationship if you're not aware of the economic aspect of this. And I'm going to stress upon this hugely, because for those of you all of you received a copy of my e-course, The Relationships Men Commit To and Why. And in the chapter of the five C's to a successful relationship, there's chemistry, communication, compatibility, character, and continuity. Within continuity, and please go to that chapter after, take a note right now and mark this down that I'm mentioning this. Under continuity, which is really the roots of a relationship, and we're going to touch upon that more in the next audio, is economic agreement. And I think having a consciousness, in fact, let me just stop for a moment and say, part of the call series is about the pros and cons. The cons is the consciousness, and that's what I'm bringing to you on this call series. It's a consciousness to be aware of. And I think it's so important not to go into cavalierly that just because someone is on online dating or they've been through a divorce, that his economics and his finances aren't of a great concern to him. Because if it's a great concern to him, it should be a concern to you. Because just even some basic the expense of dating, in fact, I talked to numerous men about this, and just the course of dating, the entertainment expense of dating could run hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month just going out to dinner. And I know it's easy to say, oh, we could do things that don't cost money, but just even going out to dinner four times in a month could run $300 or $400 or $500. And how does a man budget for that if there's alimony and child support going out? So I just want to bring this to your consciousness, because this could affect all the future aspects of your relationship going forward when it comes to whether or not you could truly merge lives together and blend lives together. So we just touched upon the finances. I'm going to go back to the dating aspect of it now, because now if a man's out there dating, and whether they're using online method, which is the one I promote predominantly, or you meet someone at your work environment, dating someone who's fresh off a divorce, if I was able to ask everyone to raise their hand, what's the likelihood that a man is truly ready coming fresh off of a divorce? In fact, and then what is the period of time it takes for someone to adjust? And I think first, we have to go back to, where are they in that stage of divorce? Are they in that separation period? Are they going through a fight? Is it nasty? What's the dynamic going on in family court? And ultimately, when are those divorce papers actually going to be at hand? Because if you're looking for a long-term commitment, you're taking a gamble dating someone who's in separation. Because look at what could happen. They could reconcile with their spouse. This happens often. You could be the transition relationship. I'm going to repeat that. You could be the transition relationship. In fact, I'll share with you a funny story. I'll never forget my first my third month online dating, I received an email from someone, or I emailed someone. She responded back and she said, how long have you been divorced? And I said, well, I'm not really divorced. I'm just separated. It's only been a few months. And her response to me was, contact me in 18 months after you've had your transition girlfriend. And I responded back, no, no, I'm so ready for a relationship. I was in an unhappy marriage, didn't feel love, all this stuff. I'm ready for a serious, committed relationship. And she said, and it wasn't until 2 years later that I saw her back online. She was still there. And I emailed her and I said, I get what you meant. And let me tell you why. Because 6 months after my divorce, I met someone fantastic. She's a great lady. We're still friends. And this was 5-6 years ago. And right off the bat, when she knew how I just was coming fresh off the divorce, fresh off of moving out of the house, my divorce wasn't even final yet. She said, Jonathan, I have to date you with rose-colored glasses. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I know you're not really ready for a serious, committed relationship. And I said the same thing I said to the other girl. I said, no, I'm really ready for a relationship. I want to jump in. And sure enough, we'd been dating for 3 months. She's a fantastic lady. Her divorce was 4 years earlier. She's gone through her work. I realized, whoa, this was way too serious for me. I'm not even in the midst. I'm still in the midst of going through the family court and the legal proceedings and all that. There was no way I could even emotionally be ready for anything more than just casual. And we looked at each other, and she was so sweet and so kind. She even said, I'm dating you with rose-colored glasses. And I realized then that I wasn't really ready for anything too serious. And so I'm stopping here for a moment to state that, not that I'm exactly like every man out there, but I'd say a majority of men who believe they're truly ready for a serious committed relationship while they're in separation are probably not. Unless he's a codependent personality type who is a dependent upon you, chances are they're not the right fit for you during the separation period, because a lot of things can happen and there's going to be an adjustment, or I'll even call it a cooling off period, that needs to happen. And this is whether someone has just broken up after a long-term relationship. This doesn't have to be divorce. It could be someone that was in a long-term relationship for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Like maybe there wasn't marriage, but it was a serious, committed relationship. But certainly with divorce, and what makes it more traumatic, and I know I repeat that word quite a bit here, but I say it because the effects of going through court and dealing with lawyers and the financial aspect, and as I said before, whether there's custody and visitation, is going to require a shift to a new life. In fact, it's quite frankly a new chapter in anyone's life. And I think the difference between men and women is that for most men, as I told you, I had a friend who was reaching out to me, and he was so desperate he was like a cry for help, and I wasn't even paying attention. Because we men don't have the same outlet as women do to share our emotions and feelings. Women, since they're young, are definitely taught to share their emotions with their girlfriends. They constantly are talking about them, where we men, we keep them bottled up. We keep them bottled in. And it's one of the reasons why men go through a midlife crisis. And I'll talk about that in a moment, what I call the hero's journey. But so for men, the transition after a divorce is uniquely different than for women. And so women have so many outlets, oftentimes family, friends, that they can go to and talk about the feelings and the emotions that happen and all the different feelings of anxiety and frustrations and even the depression and so forth, whereas men tend to close them in. And when we close them in, it eats away at us. It eats at our insides. I know this personally. I went through it. I went through days where I literally curled up in a ball and didn't want to even get out of bed to go into work. I didn't want to deal with my ex. I didn't want to deal with anything. And I've talked to so many men who've gone through that same emotional effect. And again, I'm not discounting that this doesn't happen to women, but you need to be aware that when you're dating a divorced man, especially in the early stages of separation, or even the beginning right after the divorce, is, again, I'm bringing this to your consciousness. Now, before I talked about what I said was his hero's journey, I want to spend some time talking about the men who often kind of delve into the dating world and turn into players. As I shared with you, I kind of went through that. I was more of a serial dater. And let me just give you an example of what I mean by that. I'm going to laugh here for a moment. I'm a very hopeful romantic man. So I was thinking, I'm just the first woman I meet to be a home run, and I'm going to start a brand new life. And boy, was I in for a surprise. Because I met this fantastic gal, and we're still friends. And we had a really nice date. Things went well. But I just noticed there was one thing or two things that wasn't just feeling right. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? I'm online dating. I'm emailing 5, 6, 7, 8 different women. Maybe there's someone else. And so had a nice date, had 2 dates, didn't call her on a 3rd date, and I went out with someone else. And I went out with someone else, and I realized, oh, she's kind of nice, but there's something there I don't like. And so same thing, 1 or 2 dates, on to the next one. And I went from date after date after date. And what I realized, and why this is so important, that what we go through this experience, is that I had very little relationship experience in my 20s. And because of that, I really didn't know myself and what I wanted. So every time I'd meet someone that was attractive and fun and there was chemistry, I realized that, well, I had no clue what I was looking for in the long-term perspective. So as soon as I met someone where there was some resistance, if you will, not their part, on my part, of something I maybe didn't like, all of a sudden I'd jump onto the next train and the next train and the next train. That's the way I managed it for several years before I really started to get a sense of who I was. And I think so many men go through this period of sowing their oats. I'm going to repeat that. So many men go through a period of sowing their oats. And for me, I did it one at a time, and I was very frequent at it, because I was so desperately trying to fill a void. And I noticed many men go through the same experience. Now, some men, after divorce, maybe absolutely immerse themselves in their work. They find an outlet to relieve whatever tension that's built up because of that shift in their life. So I use the sowing oats component or the serial dating. Some men immerse themselves in work. And other men do something worse. They immerse themselves in drugs and alcohol, and their issues start eating them up alive. And in fact, I went through a period, even myself, I went through a period where I was feeling a bit depressed and the doctor prescribed drugs for me, and they had an adverse effect on me. And it affected my emotional state almost to the point of I went to bed wishing I didn't wake up. And I was so thankful I got off the medication, because that's what affected me the most. But there are other men that self-medicate. They do drugs and alcohol. And I don't know if I can share with you too many telltale signs other than some obvious things that you could probably notice about a man. But if they're in dysfunction in that regard, I think for them to be a candidate for a long-term relationship, you're taking a huge risk. And it's not just the drugs and alcohol. There's just the emotional effects for some men that have bipolar disorder. They have emotional, where they could be on medication. It could be borderline personality. There's certainly plenty of women I've spoken to have dated men who are narcissists. And I want to stop you for a moment and ask yourself to begin to listen to your inner voice. What I mean is, so many times I've heard from the clients I've coached, they knew right off the bat in the early stages that there was something wrong, but they didn't listen to their inner voice. So if you have that intuition or that sense, start cluing into it. Start getting into that river, that flow of your intuition, because when you're dating divorced men, your radar needs to be up and be cognizant of their surroundings and their emotional state of being. I just shared with you my emotional state of being, and that's what this this first audio is all about, is understanding the emotional being. But this is really an opportunity to clue into your radar, your inner voice, that stream within you that will tell you whether or not something's just not right. Okay? Now, in one sense, that's one component. I'm giving you a head start with many of these, sharing many of these facets. Just like the woman who said to me, "Jonathan, I'm wearing rose-colored glasses." She knew what she was getting into, but yet she wanted to jump in anyway. Because she, quite frankly, later, and I said, we're still friends, she ended up getting, and by the way, anyone who dated me got married shortly thereafter, it seems. We can talk about that on the Q&A section. But she told me later she just knew it, but we were having so much fun and just wanted to experience the ride. And so for anybody you date, if we can do it what I call passionately detached in the early stages, those first 3 months. Now, what's passionately detached is something I talk about frequently, and that's being passionate and open to all possibilities, but detached to any outcome. Because, you know, I'm going to say it again, detached to any outcome. When we expect an outcome and it doesn't occur, that's where the pain and anxiety occurs. Okay, so the early first 3 months of any relationship is really being in a place, just, you know, seeing if they're the right person for you. Now, I can say, now you're going to say, "Jonathan, that sounds so much easier said than done." And I agree, because the minute we have intimacy, the minute we have physical contact and intimacy, and those brain chemicals start going off, that changes the whole ball game. And for women, they bond to men with oxytocin, and that chemical feeling is the belief that we're in love, okay? And in many ways, it is love, because that's what we believe. But is it real, true, and unconditional love when you with somebody you don't really know in those first 90 days? I don't think so. I think it's certainly brain chemicals, but I don't know if it's love in the unconditional sense, without a doubt. So because of those brain chemicals, I'm going to kind of lean towards the guy I was speaking about a moment ago, and that's the player. And players are some of the most dangerous ones to be, you know, who come out of divorce, that start playing the field, and their behavior is very obvious, and they're the most dangerous because players know how to communicate to women. They're romancers, they've got game, they have confidence, they have an edge, and they're so attractive. And so when you come across a player, and especially if you've been burned by one, you know that you want to avoid that as much as possible. And some of the signs of a player are the ones who call you at that last minute for a date. They hide their cell phone, they're very secretive, they're texting often. This is part of, remember I said your radar needs to be up, but with the player, they don't make dates with you often. They're always planning things at the last minute, and they're juggling several women at a time. So in a short period of time, they're maybe perceiving you fast and furious because they're looking for the thrill of sex. But then once the thrill is over, they're on to the next one and the next one. But what men do, and I want to share this with everyone, understand this. When a man has sex with a woman and moves on, he may still keep that woman in his Rolodex because he realized if he's had her once before, he can have her again. So when you get that feeling like, oh, he's thinking of me and he called me and he's interested in me, it's only because he has a track record with you for sex. So when a man hasn't communicated with you for weeks and weeks and whatnot, and then reaches back out to you, it's because he figures you're easy pickings. Okay? Real men who are truly prepared for serious committed relationship demonstrate it with their actions, show up so differently than the actions of a player. And and this is where I'm going to step into, and we're going to kind of wrap up the emotional side here with the hero's journey. And then I'm going to open up to Q&A in a few minutes. So again, that's *6 on your phone. So if you'd like, you can be in queue right now by hitting *6. And that's the best part of this call is the Q&A. But the hero's journey is what, if for those of you who don't know who Joseph Campbell is, please Google him. But it's the theory, the hero's journey theory, and I call it the hero's journey to commitment, are men who have basically gone through a transition in their life, and they've been humbled to some degree. And in that humbling, it changes their whole perspective. So depending on what their blueprint was growing up, and I talked about that earlier, even though I was brought up in a nuclear family blueprint, some men are brought up, and I think this is hugely important to recognize, what's their background in their upbringing, okay? My parents are still married, but there's so many men that come from divorce homes, or there's issues with one parent or both parent, and that is going to affect their attachment style as they become adults. And in that, if you haven't addressed your personal stuff before relationship, it's definitely going to affect you in relationship. So in the hero's journey, which you have an audio on this as well as part of this package, and you can listen to the full details of that. That's part of the e-course that you receive. But in the hero's journey is that transition period where a man shifts from living his life in testosterone and ego to living his life actually asking some of the most important questions: who am I and why am I here? And in that, there's personal growth that occurs. And in that personal growth is an awareness of how relationship plays in a man's life. And it's when I recognize that, when that happened to me several years after my divorce, it was probably 4 years for me, that things started to shift and I realized what I was looking for in long-term relationship, and what I was looking for was partnership. And that shifted everything. And my emotional state went from being a needy, codependent type of personality to really understanding that it's a partnership, there's teamwork involved, there's in so many facets of the economics component, the emotional component, social life, family and friends, and intimacy play such a different part when you've gone through that emotional shift. And for many people, it's called a midlife crisis, and I call it the hero's journey, and the hero's journey to commitment. And when a man has gone through that transition, he's more prepared for a serious long-term commitment. And we'll touch more upon how to recognize that in the second series. Right now, I'm going to open it up. I've had a number of people email me with questions, but I'm going to open up the call right now to asking questions, and I'll wrap up with a little bit some of the questions towards the end of this hour. So please hit *6 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question, and feel free. Definitely, I'd like it to be on topic, on point with dating divorced men, but I also will answer any other personal questions you have as well. So hit *6 on your phone. I know there were a couple people in the beginning of the call that said they wanted to ask a question. So, okay, here we go. Hi. Hello?
Oh,
last four digits on the phone is 7720.
That's me. It's Nina.
Hi, Nina. Yeah, I can
okay.
hear you fine.
I just finished a relationship with a guy who was divorced, and I think he has had a series of relationships, and when I first met him, he talked a lot about, you know, how he was over all of his relationships and, you know, how everything had worked out so well, and he has had a wonderful, you know, string of ladies who were just great, and they made so much attention in his life, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dumb me, I thought, wow, what an enlightened guy.
Mm-hmm. He said all the right things.
Yeah, okay. But what I found out was that he never, when he had his relationships, he never really put himself into the relationship. I guess the way I say it is, when I have a relationship, you know, I put a lot of effort into it, and I try and work things out and try to understand. But I think in this case, he was not a guy who could really attach, or I'm trying to think what a better word would be. But anyway,
collaborate, partner.
He just didn't get involved. I guess
okay.
The best thing, I was expected to do his thing. He was like a freight train going a mile
okay.
a minute. If I didn't, you know, hang on for dear life, you know, I would be thrown off, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, I look back at it now because as a woman, what I do when I end a relationship is I take time off. I
mm-hmm.
don't date for maybe 3 years until I get my act together.
Well, I hope you don't wait that long, but we'll talk about that.
I didn't realize the guys, you know, like date almost immediately.
Okay.
So I guess I was just, I can say, totally naive in this respect. But I think after reading a lot of the stuff that you said and some of the things you said tonight, one of the things I realized is that when I start to date, I really need to hold back, you know,
mm-hmm.
and wait. Because if I had done that, I would see that his actions and his words were totally different.
Yes.
And instead of that, I got all involved in the oxytocin and, you know, flew into it.
Well, I hope not Oxycontin, because that's a derivative of Vicodin.
Okay.
But no, I know you said. I just wanted to have some fun.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, now, everyone received my e-course, The Relationships Men Commit to and Why. And in that, I talk about some key components, and that's chemistry, communication, compatibility, character, continuity. Please read that section of my book. But in that, I also talk about, there's an audio section I talk about. I talk about having 3 dates in 3 weeks. So I'm going to talk about this for a moment. And ideally, having, you know, when a man is courting you, if he's really interested in seeing you, he's going to arrange at least 3 dates in 3 weeks, if not sooner. But if there's intense chemistry, beware of relationships that have intense chemistry, because oftentimes when men take off like a rocket, as soon as that, you know, they hit the outer space, they run out of fuel and crash and burn. And
yeah.
And I said, you can really tell a lot about a man in the first 10 dates. And if they're not trying to get you in bed, now, again, if you're equally compassionate and there's a lot of chemistry going on, you're going to contribute to this. But I'm not suggesting you have to wait 10 dates to know whether or not they're serious. I mean, whether or not you have to go to bed together. But certainly a lot of everyone I've ever spoken has said to me, I knew in the first couple of weeks that, you know, this is relationships that, you know, been together for years. And then afterwards I ask what broke him up and they go, I knew in the first few weeks he wasn't right for me because all the signs were there. Didn't pay attention to him. So I think true men who are seriously looking for long-term relationship, they slow the process down and they take time getting to know you in a friendship capacity and not a physical capacity.
Okay.
Let me repeat that. They get to know you in a friendship capacity and not a physical capacity. And not to suggest that the physical component isn't important and is definitely the spark that keeps a relationship going, but there's an equal amount of effort given to getting to know you in that friendship capacity. And the difference is you have to be aware of the actions versus the words. Okay? You have to be aware of the actions versus the words. And so, we don't have time to go into the particulars with this man, but I'd certainly say going forward, and remember, all this I'm talking about is about bringing to consciousness. I think it takes time after any breakup. For you, you like to take 3 years off. I don't recommend that long, okay? Please don't, because I'd like to find you a relationship sooner than that. But there is a cooling off period, a time that needs to be adjusting to a new life. And depending on where you meet a divorced man in his stage, if he's in separation or even early on when the divorce papers are done, chances are they haven't acclimated to their new adjusted life. Okay?
Yep.
They haven't acclimated. So just be conscious and be aware of that if you're dating a divorced man. And I want to thank you so much for asking a question. I truly appreciate it. Again, hit *6 if you'd like to ask a question. Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to be here. We're going to be doing Q&A for a little bit longer. I did receive some questions, so hold one moment. Here's one I received, because I have a number of people that can't make it tonight, so they emailed me. They said, Jonathan, I met someone online who he said he was really just dating around, but might get serious with the right woman. Huge red flag for me. So I never took him that seriously. We just dated and talked casually. We had great intellectual and open talks about relationships in general. He seemed to be so involved. But one day he just went berserk about some issue with his ex-wife, and now he has become very bitter and says he'll never marry again. I've written him off, but geez, he's been divorced for over 10 years. How long does it take someone to heal from a divorce? Well, God, what a great question. You know, for each individual, it's going to be different for each man. There's no real perfect timetable to tell. But I would think that if you're in this particular case, they had met online, it looks like they weren't really dating. I would think, depending on how active you've been in the dating process, you need to pick up on the signs of what they talk about, whether it's their ex or their children, if they have them. And how is their relationship with their ex? I would think 10 years later, you've resolved the majority of your issues, but in many cases, you can't. I know for myself, even years and years later, occasionally, you know, that ex is going to, especially because we have children, that ex is my ex, excuse me, or my children's mother, let me say it that way, excuse me, is going to be in my life. And for better or for worse, we're going to be together. And in many cases, it's for better. I'll be quite frankly, we've resolved some of those early issues, or those issues that happened early, we resolved, and it took a couple, 3 or 4 years to get to that point. And I would say on average, if it's a clean divorce, great, what a blessing. If it's truly nasty, it can linger on, and it's going to be a part of his psyche and his makeup. And that's why I said it's so important that a man go through that transitional period of personal growth work, of a consciousness. And it's spiritual. It could be whether they go through, they might do it through church, or they might find other mediums. I know for myself, I immersed myself in personal growth work. I fell in love with Tony Robbins and David Data, just to name a few people, and looked at what I need to do from an internal perspective before I was ready for a relationship. Because the emotional shifts that occurred in my life wouldn't have prepared me to be in a relationship in those early stages. And again, there's no magic number, but I think there needs to be, like the girl said to me, 18 months and a transition girlfriend. And I had those, okay? And unfortunately, and I've spoken to so many women who have been the transition, believing that the man is ready. And oftentimes I'm not going to suggest they're not possible ready for long-term commitment, but you could be investing in a person that's going through their fixing up period, if you will. And in that, when they've kind of cleared through the mud, if you will, oftentimes they want to be viewed as a bright, shiny penny to someone new, and they basically let go of the person that was there for them the most. Again, that's not to say that there are plenty of men who are loyal, it's going to stand by the person that was there through with them during those emotional, that period. But you are taking, and again, this is all about having it in your consciousness. You do take that risk. And that's mostly what I bring to the table, is just wanting you to be aware of what his emotional state is going to be. Please hit *6 if you have a question. I know we have a number of people on the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you might have. So hit *6 on your phone. And my feeling is it's not working for some reason. Okay, well, I've got another question that was written to me that I'd like to answer. And that is, my boyfriend and I split the cost of just about everything. That's fine. We both work, but we don't have kids. He does, so he's paying child support as well as alimony, and his wife has a great job. I feel like he'd be spending more money on me if he didn't have all those extra expenses. Is there any way to help me deal with this so I don't have to feel so frustrated and bitter about it? That is a great question. In fact, I'm going to, when it comes to dating divorced men, being aware that there's, especially for those who are paying child support and alimony, is that there's going to be a drain on basically their disposable income, if you will. And it's one of the components that you have to be basically hugely aware of if you want to, if there isn't any extra disposable income for entertainment and or travel expenses. And it might be that you, and if you truly care for this person, it could be fine. You're okay with supplementing those expenses. But many men are living very tight. Most Americans live, if not month to month, they live paycheck to paycheck. And having extra disposable income just for casual dating could be very difficult for many men going through a divorce. Now, here's what you have to be careful of. What a lot of men do is they may show off in the beginning because they're seeking that companionship, attention, affection, and regular sex. So they kind of go overboard in the short run because they're trying to court you, swoon, you know, win you over. But as soon as they've had sex with you, as soon as something, you know, there's a, you know, relationship began, all of a sudden their finances shift. So I think just being aware of this right off the get-go is hugely important. I think the best thing to do is know where your boundaries are and where you want to be in the relationship in an economic sense. Then go to my chapter in the book, The Continuity Leads to Commitment, and read about economic agreement, because I think that's hugely important to establish in the early stages of dating a divorced man, especially if they're paying alimony and or child support. Okay, please hit *6 if you have any questions. All right, well, we've got another question that was written in, so I'm going to answer that. Okay. About 6 months after I started an exclusive relationship with a divorced father of two older teens, the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays arrived. He said he was going to spend those holidays with his kids and ex-wife in order to maintain a family tradition for his sons and daughters. He's been divorced for years. We split up for different reasons, but now I wonder, with the divorced men I'm now dating, it's weird for them to spend holidays with their ex over me. Does it depend on the ages of the children as to whether or not it's okay or not? Wow, great question. I love that question. I know for so many in the early stages of divorce, especially with those younger children, I think that creating some sort of continuity, especially for that first year, is hugely important. And when I talk about younger children, I'm going to talk about children under 13 years old for the most part. But I think 1 or 2 years of continuity helps in the transition. And especially if both parents are working for a healthy emotional state for their children, if I was dating someone in that capacity, I'd be hugely supportive. I also think that when it comes to, you know, the holidays and such, that once a significant relationship has occurred, so now, and I think there's the question of when to introduce your children to somebody you're dating. There's all different schools of thought on that. I think my personal opinion is when you have a serious, committed relationship where there's exclusivity, monogamy, and there's some sort of working towards maybe some long-term commitment, that's the time to introduce your children to a significant other, probably at a minimum 3 to 6 months. And after a relationship has been forged for, say, you've gone through four quarters or you've gone through the seasons, I think it's okay to be at a point where you'd want to share family time with someone's children. And I think after a few years, I don't want to say it's expected, but I think it's okay to want to be a part of that as well. But there are plenty of families who've started traditions, and I think being conscious of that. And I also want to add that there's so many people that are very amicable in their divorce. I know when, if we talk about some celebrities, whether it was Bruce Willis and Demi Moore, they were very amicable towards each other, and their partners were actively involved in all of the social activities. And I know a number of couples where that's occurred, where they've incorporated the new spouse or the new person into their life or the new relationship. And I think that's quite possible. But I think for the early stages, it could be a little difficult, especially that first year of a transition. So Okay, well, I'm going to give one last chance to ask questions. I'm going to turn, so that's hit star six if you'd like to ask a question. Okay, here we go. Oh, we got two now. So last four digits of your phone, 8164.
Hi, Jonathan. It's Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Is there a difference emotionally? Is the impact a little different if it's the man who files for divorce versus the woman?
I guess that's a really good question. I think in that particular case, I guess it depends on the why. If there was infidelity on the part of the woman,
yeah.
I think that could definitely hugely affect a man more so. And let me explain why. You know, an infidelity, the two main reasons for divorce are infidelity and financial, you know, issues that occur. And then the third being just incompatibility. But, and oftentimes it's men considered to be the ones who are unfaithful. But I think men, in the case where a woman's been unfaithful, men are very territorial. And in that, it's a huge hit to their pride and their ego. And I can most certainly guarantee, I don't know this from a personal perspective, but I can certainly tell you that a man who's coming off of someone who's had infidel or, you know, cheated on him is going to play a huge part of where their psyche going forward. And he's going to have to process those feelings and emotions. And that could take quite some time. That might even take some therapy or some real inner work to be prepared for that. So I think if that was the reason behind it, that could be definitely a challenge. Absolutely.
What if it's incompatibility?
You know, incompatibility is a different case because that's just, you know, we make a bad choice. Sometimes we live for it longer than we should. And men actually, most women, there's this belief that men are commitment phobic. Once a man's in, he's nested. And usually it's rare. That's one of the reasons why women file for divorce most of the men, because we nest in. But if he's declaring this relationship isn't working for me, I want out. See, that's a whole different ballgame, because that usually is a sign, unless he's just out ready to sow his oats, he's probably going to seek something more serious if that's the reason why he filed for divorce and because of incompatibility.
Right.
He wants someone compatible and it fits into his life. I would say that's, again, as short as he doesn't want to go out and sow his oats, he might be a perfect candidate shortly after a divorce has been finalized.
Right. I think it was more about he wanted to grow in the relationship and she had no interest. So
then he
started wondering if this was maybe a bad choice for him, a bad match.
Well, then I would say that would be someone definitely worth pursuing.
Right.
Because he's looking for his long-term future and relationship vision. So great question. Thank you, Vaughn.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. We got one more caller. And I'm going to wrap up with this call. So last four digits is 9199.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I noticed in your list of questions you said something about if the man was open to you talking to his ex. Was that a question of if he is, or do you suggest that that's a good idea?
Is he open to talk? Wait, I'm. The way you said it isn't the way I think the question is. I mean, which number was that?
I can't remember quite how you worded it.
Is he okay, you talking to his ex to see what he or so says about the failed relationship? Is he okay with talking to his ex? Well, where that's coming from, and this is both whether it's the man or woman, I know that when my – and I'm going to use me as an example for a moment, okay? My ex got engaged several years after we divorced. And there was, and because he has children and we have children, we're seeing each other. We basically agreed to communicate with one another. Now, originally it was just for the simple things about, you know, about handing off children and that sort of thing. But there was a moment where he just even asked me a question about her. And interestingly enough, I didn't come from a total bitter place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a point where if children's involved, if there is an opportunity to have open dialogue with the other person on a very surface level, if that's even remotely possible, and I'm not saying to delve deep into the relationship and asking those questions, but just even some of the basic things related to the especially if children are involved, that transition, if that's a yes, then you have a healthy person that's open to seeking, you know, maybe a long-term commitment with you. Does that help?
Yeah, and as you're talking too, it brings up that if there are any secrets too, they probably wouldn't want you to. I mean, I'm thinking actually about my ex and about men that I'm dating that are divorced. And either way, I could see that there, you know, that might be something to consider. If they're not interested, that there might be some secrets, something going on that maybe they don't want you to know about.
You know, when it comes to, and I want to look at, I'm going to jump in for a second and talk about secrets, because there's a difference between being secretive and just not wanting to divulge something personal.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the early stages of my current relationship, I wasn't ready to share a lot of personal stuff in the early stages. And interestingly enough, and I'll share a little personal story, something actually came out. And it wasn't that big of a deal, but it ended up being, it was a little thing that turned into a kind of a big deal. And in my particular case, my girlfriend was on the fence for me for a moment. So you know what not everyone's going to do this, but what I did was I called my ex to stand up for me in this particular case, because it actually kind of related to her as well, okay? But I reached out to her because I really care about this person. I didn't want to lose her. And I reached out to my ex and say, and by the way, I think they even emailed each other, because I even created that conduit that she could basically stand up for me, because it was something that got blown out of proportion and it was resolved. But I think the more open and communicative two exes are with one another, it's going to certainly help in the long-term growth of a future relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for that question. Well, I'm going to wrap up the recording now here in a moment, and I'm going to open the phone lines in a second to answer any questions. We're going to end the call tonight for Audio One, his emotional state. Our next call is going to be, when is he ready for partnership and commitment? We're going to go into deeper discussion about that. That's definitely going to be a Q&A where there's going to be lots of questions. So I strongly encourage you to join me on that. So I'm just going to shut the recording.